KPBS On Demand is supported by the National Conflict Resolution Center. Geopolitics, a divisive election year, and strained budgets are all topics that can create tension in the workplace. NCRC can help workplace leaders navigate polarizing issues with the Culture, Communication, and Conflict Certificate. More at ncrconline.com.
Good morning, I'm Tepi Cruz. It's Monday, April 14th. New research shows living near a highway can impact your social life. More on that next, but first, the headlines. San Diego has a new U.S. attorney. Adam Gordon was appointed by U.S. Attorney General Pam Bondi and sworn in last week. Previously, Gordon was an assistant U.S. attorney. He also worked at the San Diego County District Attorney's Office. Gordon replaces former Southern District U.S. Attorney Tara McGrath, who was fired by the Trump administration. She previously told KPBS the Trump administration is making federal agencies shift to immigration enforcement, which puts public safety at risk.
So we have these organizations that are specialized in really essential components of what keeps people in this country safe from mass shootings, from ghost guns, from fires, from fentanyl. And now those organizations are devoting significant time to immigration enforcement.
McGrath was one of 93 U.S. attorneys let go. Disappearing sand on San Diego's coastlines are a daily reminder of the need to replenish and retain beach sand. The city of Oceanside now has $1.8 million from the California Coastal Commission for its sand replenishment project. And the San Diego Association of Governments plans a $260 million project for beaches from Dana Point to Imperial Beach. Jamie Timberlake is Oceanside's Coastal Zone Administrator.
What SANDIC's trying to do is make this a more cyclical program where we, as coastal cities, collaborate together and work on this project together, share the costs of it, share the responsibility of overseeing the feasibility and the design of it, and then move forward with this collaborative sand nourishment projects.
Oceanside's project involves an artificial reef to slow down ocean currents to keep sand on the beach. Timberlake says SANDAG and the Coastal Commission are both interested in seeing how Oceanside's pilot project plays out. A local police officer is making history. San Diego Police Officer Mark Wright has become the only amputee motorcycle officer in the U.S., according to his department. Wright recently graduated from the SDPD motorcycle training. It's a 120-day program that involves training on slow maneuvers, escort training, speed training, and more. After a car crash in 2022, Wright's left foot had to be amputated. He was able to return to SDPD 8 months later with a prosthetic. From KPBS, you're listening to San Diego News Now. Stay with me for more of the local news you need.
KPBS On Demand is supported by Nelson Photo and Video, celebrating their grand opening and Cash for Cameras trade-in event, Friday, April 25th through Sunday, April 27th, with bratwurst, refreshments, and new product demonstrations. Details at nelsonphotoandvideo.com.
Loneliness is a growing problem in America, and it's one that impacts almost every aspect of our lives, from physical and mental health to economic opportunities, even extremism in politics. But why do Americans struggle to meet each other and build friendships? In the latest episode of his podcast, Freeway Exit, Metro reporter Andrew Bowen delves into new research that links loneliness to urban highways.
Why would living next to an urban highway make it harder for you to find friends?
And a very simple explanation is that those sort of concrete monsters are literally hard to cross.
That's Luca Aiello, a data science professor at the IT University of Copenhagen. He's the lead author of a study published last month called Urban Highways Are Barriers to Social Ties.
So here the hypothesis is that by having a highway nearby, you are constrained in your short-range mobility.
And if you're not walking around your neighborhood as much, you're probably not meeting as many of your neighbors. Aiello says highways can make it easier to meet people who live far away from you.
But what you lose there is your ability and habit to move around locally. So as a result, if I might have a potential, you know, friendship to be built, but my potential friends are at the other side of the highway, this friendship will never happen.
This barrier effect that transportation infrastructure can have on our social lives has actually been observed before, but the studies were small scale and qualitative. Aiello wanted to do a quantitative study using big data. After years of looking, he settled on Twitter. Back in 2012 and 2013, by default, Twitter added your location to every post you made from a mobile device. That allowed the researchers to roughly map out where people live in the 50 largest cities in America. They could also estimate social connections by finding users who follow each other. This produced a dataset of 1 million users with 2.7 million social ties.
So here the hypothesis is that we should be finding fewer social ties crossing highways than expected, right? So in an imaginary world without highways, you would observe more ties crossing the path of the highway compared to the real data, in which the highways are actually there. So here what we did is a little bit of a statistical trick. So you measure the number of ties crossing a highway between two areas in the city, and then you compare this number of crossings with the number of crossing from a synthetic model where your social network is reshuffled at random. So in this sort of imaginary world, people connect with one another disregarding the presence of highways.
Using this comparison between actual social connections and randomized social connections in this synthetic model, Aiello developed what he calls a barrier score. Cities with high barrier scores are where highways are disruptive to social ties. All 50 of the country's most populous cities had high barrier scores. That suggests even when you discount the positive effect that highways can have on meeting people who live far away from you, the negative effect of preventing connections with your neighbors is stronger, including in San Diego.
We have extremely high barrier scores for the Interstate 805. Basically from the area of Norman Heights down to Mexico. So that whole segment is extremely high in barrier score. But also the I-5 separating downtown from the rest of the city is very, very evident in terms of signal, right? So two of the, I believe, largest highways or motorways that are in San Diego are actually having an impact which is very, very high.
Aiello says he hopes his research inspires governments, transportation departments, and city planners to find ways to break down the social barriers that highways create. The bipartisan infrastructure law created a program to do just that, called Reconnecting Communities. It's funded bridges, parks over freeways, even freeway removals. But the funds have already been exhausted, and the program was scrapped by the Trump administration. You can hear my full conversation with Luca Aiello by listening to the latest episode of my podcast, Freeway Exit. Andrew Bowen, KPBS News.
Nine students attending San Diego universities have had their international student visas revoked. Education reporter Katie Anasta says it's part of a wave of visa revocations happening across the country.
Four of the students attend San Diego State. F1 visa holder One Naito wasn't one of them, but the news still shocked her. She's learning English and plans to study international relations.
I think it's good things to connect the world and then talk other countries' people. So I want to be like that. But if they take my right to study here, how can I live here? It's so crazy world.
University officials say the federal government did not coordinate with the campus or provide advance notice or explanation. F1 visas allow people to enter the U.S. as full-time students. Information about them is stored in a federal database. UC San Diego says it learned of its 5 students' visa revocations during a routine check of that system. SDSU says it's looking for changes multiple times a day. Katie Anastas, KPBS News.
The family of a man arrested during an immigration raid in El Cajon last month is fighting to keep him in the country. Reporter Gustavo Solis says his case shows how enforcement priorities have changed.
Jorge Lopez was one of the men arrested during the El Cajon immigration raid last month. Now he's being held at the Otay Mesa Detention Center and faces deportation. Tessa Cabrera is the family's immigration lawyer.
Jorge's been in the United States since he was 13. He is married to his U.S. citizen wife. They have 4 U.S. citizen children, all under the age of 17, I believe. He also is an assistant soccer coach.
The Trump administration says that federal authorities prioritize violent criminals and public safety threats for mass deportation. But Lopez doesn't have a violent criminal record, and he's an active member of the community, Cabrera says.
I don't think that he is a risk to public safety. I think he is very deserving of being released on bond and being allowed to fight his removal proceedings outside of custody.
She says that because Lopez is employed and has U.S. citizen children, he'd normally be released on bond, but that is not happening under Trump.
I think in prior administrations, there would have been more of an assessment of whether this person needs to be detained or not.
Gustavo Solis, KPBS News.
Last year, the Housing and Urban Development Department stopped including veterans' benefits in its income calculation for a key housing program. Military and veterans reporter Andrew Dyer says a new Senate bill could make that change permanent.
California Senator Alex Padilla introduced the bill with another Democrat and 2 Republicans. The Housing Unhoused Disabled Veterans Act would make permanent a Biden-era policy to exclude disability benefits from being counted as income for housing vouchers. The program from HUD and the VA called HUDVASH provides rental assistance to veterans experiencing homelessness or who are at risk of homelessness. Azucena Valladolid is the Executive Vice President of Rental Assistance at the San Diego Housing Commission. While she says the change is good policy, because of high median incomes and the cost of living, it hasn't made much of an impact here.
We have not had to deny veterans in a very long time for the over income, and we have not seen any significant change in determining eligibility after the rule was applied.
A bipartisan companion bill is in the works in the House. Andrew Dyer, KPBS News.
San Diego Unified's free before and after school program is getting a head start for next fall. Applications open today for the program called Primetime, and this year the district is using a new system to streamline the application process. Toby Pace with San Diego Unified says it is no longer first come, first served.
We've actually created a lottery system so that we really want it to be equitable.
Pace says some students will be given priority in the lottery.
Homeless, foster, low income, low socioeconomic, that group of students. And then we're going to kind of go through the lottery system.
Applications will be open through May 2nd. The lottery will be held in July for the 16,000 spaces in the program. That's it for the podcast today. As always, you can find more San Diego news online at kpbs.org. And be sure to check out the KPBS Midday Edition podcast. Today, they're taking a fresh look at housing and homelessness in the San Diego region. I'm Debbie Cruz. Thanks for listening, and have a great Monday.
KPBS On Demand is supported by Paint Care, offering households and businesses in California more than 800 leftover paint drop-off sites for recycling. Quantities of 100-plus gallons of paint may qualify for a large volume pickup. Learn more at paintcare.org.